Well, last week we started talking about doubt. Doubt, the thief of God's greater blessings. So we read some scripture. We're going to read through those verses again. But the greatest enemy of faith is doubt. So you can have faith, but you start yielding to doubt, and you won't be able to see things through to receive what the Lord would have for you. Let's read on your sheet there. For the sake of time, let's just go through. Matthew 13:53. These are some passages that refer to doubt or unbelief. Matthew 13:53-58 says, "Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, 'Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not his mother Mary? And his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things?' So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Now, he did not do many mighty works there because of what? Their unbelief. That's Jesus, the Son of the living God. He did not do many mighty works there because of the people's unbelief. Now, this will answer questions. If you go through here, just let the word be the word. Just flush anything that you've heard, come into it with a fresh mind, and let the word be the truth, and look at the word for what it says. So many times this is what we do. We read it, but we read it through the lens of whatever we already believe what it says, and we don't really look at it. You can read a scripture over and over and over, not really read it, and then one day you read it and you say, "Oh, really, that's what it said. I always thought it said this." That's why it's important to look at the word and read it. That's why we have you lay your eyes on the Bible, because some people have heard verses and they heard them taught a certain way, and so they hear it. If they hear it, they'll just, in their mind, just translate it right into that. But once you see it on the page, sometimes that'll jolt you. And you'll see, wait a minute, that's not what I thought that said. But it said, he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. You think if the Son of the living God was limited, now he was operating as a man, but if there's anybody, and the Bible says he laid aside his mighty weight, his power and glory, and he walked like other men. But if there's any person that walked to the fullness of what a man can do here in this fallen world, it was him. And so if he couldn't do it because of their unbelief, do you think we're limited because of that? Absolutely we are. Some people say, well, why doesn't this just happen? Well, the answers are here. Matthew 14:22 says, "Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away." Now, look at it. It says, "Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat." So he told them. He had them go. So this is his will, right? "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary." Let me ask you a question. Can you do what the Lord tells you to do and still have challenges? Just because Jesus, this was the will of God for them, right? Didn't Jesus send them? Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. So that was his will for them. Yet they still ran into a storm. Well, the enemies can stir stuff up. But we don't ever have to be afraid. Some people make such a big deal about the devil. Like, you better watch out. You obey God, the devil's just going to, all hell's going to break loose. Well, he may try some stuff, but don't put the emphasis on the wrong thing. Of course he's going to try to stop you, but he can't stop you. He can just try to get you to stop. There's a difference. Smoke and mirrors. He's an illusionist. He's a deceiver. You ever been in one of those fun houses at, you know, amusement park or something? Stuff doesn't look the way it really is. You can't go by what you see. The devil's a master at this. So he'll try to make things. You are going where God wants you to go, but he'll try to make it look like you're going to sink. You're going down, but it's not true. But he's real good at making it look like it's really true. I mean, the pressure is real. But we don't have to take it on us. And we don't have to believe it. We don't have to believe his lies. That's why you have to just stick to the word, this is exactly what we're talking about. Regardless of what you see, you have to keep your eyes focused on the word. So the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, and for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" So again, Jesus told Peter to come. That's a command from the Son of the living God. And Peter did walk on the water. But then when he started looking around and said, "Wait, there's a storm going on," then he started to sink. And so Jesus did not pull him up and commend him. He said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Let's go to the next one. Matthew 17:14, it says, "And when they had come to the middle, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me.' And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, 'Why could we not cast it out?' So Jesus said to them, 'Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you.'" So verse 19, they said, "Why could we not cast it out?" What was Jesus' answer? "Because of your unbelief." That was the answer. Because of your unbelief. Mark 4:35, it says, "On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.' Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and the other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose." Now notice this. What did he say to him? "Let us cross over to the other side." Let's go. We're going to go to the other side. He didn't say we're going to sink in the middle. I like to say that when we're going on a trip, we're going over, we're leaving, we're going to Nebraska. We're going to go all the way safely there, arrive safely there. We're going to come safely back. If we're going to, Oklahoma, we're going to go safely there. We're going to have a good trip, arrive there, have a safe trip, and arrive here safely back. Jesus didn't say we'll try to go to the other side. He said, "Let us cross over to the other side." So this is, again, his will, what he said ought to happen. Notice in verse 37, "And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling, but he was in the stern asleep on a pillow." So evidently, he's not concerned. He said, "We're going," and he went back and took a nap. He fully expected we're going to get there. He was not concerned. It's amazing he was sleeping with all this going on. "And they awoke him and said, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Where's your faith? You don't have any. You're looking at the circumstances. You're not believing. You're fearful. Mark 11:22 says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not,'" what? "Does not doubt" where? "In his heart. But believes that those things he says will be done." Now believing is of the heart. You read over there in Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. It says, believing, "For with the heart man believes." For with the heart man believes. So it's with your heart you believe. And notice it says here, "does not doubt" where? "In his heart." Didn't say your head. Didn't mean you, that doesn't mean you won't have any thoughts of, "Good night, what's going on?" That's not the same as doubting in your heart. It's not the same thing. We've talked about that before. And we have a whole series on that. I'm forgetting what the name of the series, but not this last year, but the year before on Wednesday nights. We were talking about faith. I think How to Turn Your Faith Loose was part of it. So you can go back and listen to some of that. "Be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you," excuse me, "therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." But notice here he said, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." So we have these several scriptures here that illustrate what happens when you don't believe, and talks about doubt and unbelief, having no faith. So in these scriptures, in the, you know, particularly the first four, well, and even the last one, it's talking about the fig tree in Mark 11. But doubt or unbelief caused people to receive something less than the best God had for them, and in each case, the Lord rebuked them for their doubt and unbelief. So God's highest and best, God intervened, the Lord intervened in these, in some of the instances, but his highest and his best is for us to receive on our own faith. And to receive all that he would have for us. Our own faith. Do you realize you can receive what God wants for you by your own faith? You don't have to be. Some people are just waiting for somebody else to believe for them. Well, sometimes you may be weak in faith in a certain area, but there's a remedy for that. Hearing the word, looking at the word, being under teaching like you are right now, this will strengthen your faith. You don't have to stay there. It doesn't have to be a lifelong thing that, well, I just can't seem to believe. We're not supposed to go through our whole life thinking that. Well, I just can't. Other people can believe, I can't. Well, we only have so long a life here. Right? We're only going to be here so long. And it's easy to put things off into the future. Well, someday I'll get there. Someday, but you know, so and so, they have faith. Somebody else has faith. I just can't seem to grasp it. I don't know why. I guess I just have to put up with everything. That's not true. That's a lie. That's a mentality. That's a mindset. It's a tactic of the enemy. Maybe somewhere you were sold a package, a bundle from the enemy of goods, and somewhere you or any person, or myself, you know, there are certain things that that we've accepted, and we just think like that. We've accepted it. Maybe we had a failure in an area. Maybe we didn't receive what we thought we should receive. And the enemy's really quick there to tell you that you failed, that you're not going to receive from God, there's something wrong with you, and boy, it's just, you know, it's really hard to believe God. That's a lie. If you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and that he rose from the dead, like we talked about last week, if you didn't hear last week, how many of you were here last week? How many of you weren't here last week? You're all here? Good. Maybe you want to go back and listen to it again anyway. But you already believed on the Lord Jesus Christ raising from the dead, that he is the Son of God and he rose from the dead. That's a miracle. That's impossible. You can't do that. You can't. The dead aren't supposed to come back to life. And you believed it. And you didn't see it, but you believed it. If you really believed it, then you're a Christian. But if you really think about what you believed and what you say you believe, it's impossible. But we're believing that the Son of the living God came to earth and he conquered death. And that all power and all authority was given to him. And that his very spirit dwells in us. And if his spirit dwells in us, then the impossible is not impossible. We just read that in this one verse here. Verse 20, it says in Matthew 17:20 there, and she says, so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Do you believe that the Son of the living God shed his blood, rose from the dead, and that because you believed on him, you were born again, that you are a new creation in Christ, and that the Son of the living God dwells in you? Let me see your hand if you believe that. You believe it? You believe it. Not just because I asked you to raise your hand, you didn't want to be the only one that wasn't raising your hand. If you believe that, then you already believe the impossible. But think of what you just said we believe. The Spirit of the living God dwells in us. Now. If you live another 60 years, he's not going to dwell any more in you than he does right now. So let me ask you, why would we wait to receive something from him that he has already provided now and that we could have now? I can feel your heads turning right now. Because this is what people will beat their heads up against, and I've seen it. I've been around this my whole life. Why can't I get this from God? I'm trying to believe. I've done what I know to believe. I just can't seem to get it. That's just a lie. It's a mentality. We're looking at the wrong thing. The Bible and the promises of God are for us now. It's not for the future. Because there's people that lived 100 years ago, they're dead in the natural, and if they're Christian, they went and already are with the Lord. Their opportunity to receive on this earth is over. What if they say, well, I'll get it someday? They're done. They're gone. But it's so easy for us to say, I'll get it someday. Well, when is that going to come? And so many times, what are we actually waiting for? Let me put it this way. When are you going to decide you believe it now? When are you going to decide you believe? A lot of times the answer is, when I see something change, then I believe. But that's not faith. That's walking by sight. That's called doubt. And that will rob you. Well, I haven't seemed to get it yet. Says who? Well, I just haven't seen it. It's not shown up. That's not faith. If it's shown up, you don't need to believe God anymore. It's done. See, faith is now when you don't see it. And so who said you have? See, so many times people start playing games with time. They say, well, I didn't receive it. It's obvious it didn't work. Says who? Well, it's obvious. It's obvious it didn't work. What do you mean? Well, I haven't gotten it. Yeah, but that's not the same as it not working. I said they're not the same. You need to believe. Why? First of all, why would you believe? Your belief ought to come back to the Word of God. If you're basing your belief on anything but what the Bible said, it's not on a solid foundation. And it will fail. Well, so-and-so preached it, and I really like that. That's not enough. Well, I really like that, the sound of that idea. I like that. I want it. I need it. That's not enough. A lot of people need a lot of things in this world. And they can cry all day long, and they can tell everybody, and they say, but I need it. That won't change. Do you hear me? That is not going to move anything. But I want this in my life. That doesn't change anything either. But I've tried to believe God. So that's implying that I did what the Bible said, but somehow I stopped. Why? Why would we drop it? It's because of what we're talking about right here. It's called doubt. Something in the natural, maybe as small as a number of seconds or minutes going by, and we decide then, after too many have gone by, God's word's not true anymore. It's obvious it's not working. Why? Because this many minutes have gone by, and clearly if it didn't happen by then, it's not, what, God's word ceased to be God's word? Is that true? Obviously everybody said, well, no. But why did we drop it? Why would we stop believing God? What is our foundation? Why do we believe what we believe? If the answer is anything but that the Word of God said it, and I believe it, then it is not a solid foundation, and it will be shaken. Because the enemy, he thrives on people looking at their circumstances and what they can see, feel, touch, you know, what they perceive with their senses. Because he can mess with that. Like I said earlier, he's a deceiver. He's a master manipulator. And plus he's just a master liar. So even if the circumstances isn't really, even if you looked at it a certain way, it's fine. He'll lie to you about it such that you'll start seeing things that aren't there. So you'll start feeling things that go with those beliefs he's trying. See, if you start believing a certain way, you start believing something is a certain way, you will start acting like it's true. And the feelings that you have, if that were true, you'll start experiencing. Do you know that's how your brain works? Do you know you can trick your brain? Your brain doesn't really have a big connection between what is really going on and what it perceives is going on. In other words, if you experience something at a certain point, you guys all know this. Is there something that happened when you were growing up, somebody said something mean to you, or there's some circumstance, and if you think about it to this day, your stomach tightens up or you cringe. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. It could have happened 50 years ago, but if you're in that situation, or if someone brought it up or reminded you of it, you just cringe and you're like, you are experiencing what you felt. But let me ask you a question. Is it happening to you? It doesn't have to happen to you right now. It's enough that it's in your brain. Your brain, it's going to act on what it perceives as reality. It does not matter. That's why when people, you see athletes and stuff, they see themselves doing a certain play over and over and see themselves making it over and over. There's a reality to that. You know what you're doing? They're creating ruts in their brain that see that when this happens, that's how I'm going to react. This is what's going to happen. You know what happens when they actually experience the real thing? They've already programmed themselves to behave a certain way. The brain doesn't know any different. It doesn't. And I believe God created us that way. So if you start listening to the devil and start acting on what he's saying, you'll start experiencing the emotions as if that's going on, and it may have nothing in the world to do what's going on. You think somebody is doesn't like you or is talking bad about you. You can start acting like, this person doesn't like me, and I better start defending myself and acting, you know, how can I get around it? You know, you all know what I'm talking about? Somebody you think they're not liking you, so you're kind of trying to shore up their view of you, and they're like, what are you doing? You know, because if they don't really believe that, you're acting like they don't like you, which guess what that starts to, what that makes happen? They start not to like you because you're acting weird. That's the way the enemy works. Well, I'm seeing this symptom in my body. I remember, I won't even say it. There's another situation I was thinking of, but there are situations where you could have a symptom in your body and the devil come to you and tell you the absolute worst thing that could possibly go with that symptom, and that's what you have. You get some symptom, you got cancer, bud. Doesn't matter what part of your body it's going on in. It's cancer or, you know, whatever. And you know what? If you listen to that, you'll start acting and start gearing like you have that. Even though there's nothing in the world wrong with you. The doctor, people have seen this. There's this one guy I heard of, I can't remember who it was that was telling this story, but that this person knew personally of this person. This guy, he was convinced he had cancer or he was going to get cancer. And he would go to the specialist and they'd say, but you don't have anything. I know I have it. You just haven't seen it. You guys are misdiagnosing what you don't know what you're talking about. And this guy was convinced, even though he had doctor after doctor tell him, you're fine. And he kept going and kept believing it. And guess what? He got cancer. Eventually, he was diagnosed. And he's like, see, I told you it was there. What we think on and what we focus on is going to very much affect, well, it's going to determine what we receive, what we're able to receive from the Lord. And this will answer, what we're talking about now will answer questions. We can get rid of this mentality that somehow I'm defective. We won't say it like that. But there's this mentality that I'm less than a Christian. I can't believe God. I have a problem. I just can't get enough faith. I can't believe God. You won't say it like that, but that's what it is. I tried to believe God. I said it. It didn't work. And so I don't know why it didn't work. So what, I'm going to double down and I'm going to try to read the scriptures and read. Well, you should build your faith. That's the remedy for it. But if you're trying to do it, there's a way to go about it. And if you're trying to, like, pull this lever, and if I read enough and if I try it enough, then when I do it, it's just got to happen. A lot of times what's going on is people are still trying to get it to happen like this, and they're still saying, if I can get enough oomph and I really feel like I have faith, then when I pray, it's going to happen, and it's done. And that's not focusing on the right thing. You meditate on the word and get full of what the Lord said and what the Bible says, so that when something raises its head against it, you say, no, this is what it says. This is what the word says. This has to change. It's not so that you think you get so full of faith that everything just goes out of your way immediately and you never have to deal with any contrary circumstances. That's what people over and over are tripped up on circumstances, and they think it doesn't work. Why? Because their eyes are on the wrong thing. Their eyes are looking, your attention is looking at the wrong thing, and if you start looking at the wrong thing, you're going to experience the wrong emotions, and you're going to be tempted then. That's exactly what doubt is. It's looking at something else rather than the Word of God, rather than what His truth is. So you start looking at circumstances and giving more heed to that and drop your faith. And then say, it didn't work. And I just don't know why. So what do you try to do? You're going to make another run at the mountain. You're going to let's get more ammo. We just didn't do it enough. And I just am full of faith. But guess what? Now some symptom comes up. It's like, oh, it's there. Okay, go. And if it doesn't go immediately, it's like, why didn't it work? I'm trying to make it work. It's not working. Does anybody relate to what I'm saying? Because this is in the circles that we're in, people that have heard the word and about faith, you see this over and over. People are just trying to get enough. And what we have to realize is that we have to take God at His word, and then whatever comes, you refuse to entertain anything that would be contrary. But we need to be convinced that what He said is true. But it's a choice. You say, I decide. How many of you just felt, when you got born again, you just heard the word and somebody told you the word, but then you went and you studied about being born again for months and months and months, to where you felt that you were so convinced about that you could come in, and when somebody prayed with you for salvation, you just reached right in there and got it because you had your faith built up for salvation? How many of that was your experience? Really? I'm sorry, I'm not trying to trip you up. Well, good. Most people, they heard about it, they might have had to do some processing, but then they just decided, I believe on Jesus. I choose to believe it. They could choose not to believe it, but they choose that they're going to believe it. But then when people go and they're about healing or something, we take a different approach. We just got to hear and hear, and hearing's good. And you need, there is a remedy for doubt. It is hearing, teaching on faith, and hearing what God said. But you have to meditate that, and then you have to choose to believe it and hold to it. It's not just, well, you haven't heard enough. Let me ask you a question. How many of the people that received in Jesus' day, you don't know this for sure, but there are people that they heard it and they just believed. They just chose to believe. Right? But we'll get in this mentality that I have to hear, and then I'm going to make a run at it. And I just expect everything to roll over and just go away, and then I'll know I had enough faith to move it. And so many times it's exactly what we're talking about here that's stealing from us. It's just doubt. We decided something was in our face, and it may have been in our face day after day after day. And instead of keeping our eyes focused on the Lord, keeping our eyes focused on what the Word said, looking to Him, we started looking away and looking at the symptoms and looking at the circumstances and letting that start speaking louder to us than what the Lord's saying. And at that point, you start slipping And when you start yielding to it, you could slip faster and down into where you are like, see, it's falling. I don't know why this. And then it can become just turned inward, where we're looking and we're crying out to God, well, God, what's going on? Why aren't you doing it? Why aren't you helping me? I tried my best. I tried to believe you. I don't know what I did wrong. And people get in this mentality then. I don't know. And people will turn away. People I've seen number of people and read about people. They had heard the word. They had heard about faith. They had seen it in the word. But something happened in their lives where something didn't go the way they thought it should. They didn't receive something they thought they should. And they turned away from it and said, it's not true. I don't believe in faith. I don't believe that's the word. Especially in the area of like healing. I don't believe it. Well, again, is it the word or is it not the word? Do we believe it because it's in the Bible, or do we believe it because somebody preached it? You may think, well, they preached the word, and so I believe the word. You have to get to where you receive the word as the word of the living God, regardless of where you heard it. Don't get caught up in looking at it worked for them, so I'm going to believe it. You will go around in circles if that's where your faith is. Name the person that you look to. Well, they believed it, and they said it, so it's got to work. What are you saying? Because they said something's going to work, therefore it should work for me. That's not the same as saying, Lord, thank God for that person, that man or woman of God, that helped me to see through their ministry or their sharing the word what your word says. Thank you. But now I'm so thankful for what your word says, and I will walk in what your word says, regardless. Because you know what happens? When people get mad, when people get offended, at the word or something didn't happen, they will blame. They will get mad. That whole group, they'll get mad. I've heard of people just getting mad at certain group, at certain belief preachers and people that believe like we do, because they're mad that they believe something and it didn't work. So now they're irritated and offended with the people that they loved to listen to, or they loved to study after, but now they're mad because something didn't go the way they thought it should. You know where their faith was not necessarily in the Lord. I'm not saying they weren't sincere, but they're mad. You know who they're ultimately mad at? God. God didn't do something that I thought he should do. And you know what another thing people do then? Is they start looking for a way that it won't have anything to do with me. It'll happen regardless, because they're tired of it feeling like it was them failing, which is a lie to begin with. I mean, we may or not believing as we ought to, but the devil's the one that brings condemnation and starts beating people up. That's from the devil. If you ever feel that, it's not from God. God is not saying, you dummy, why didn't you get it? You might think, well, that's just me. No, you're having help to get beat up. If you're beating yourself up with a hammer, you know, let's say it's a small 12-ounce hammer, dinky hammer, but you're going like this. Stupid. The devil's going to come. Like, I just put in a mailbox at my house, and, you know, I got a sledgehammer. He's going to say, that hammer is not big enough. Here, why don't you take this 4-pound or 8-pound? You can't. 8 pounds would be way too hard to do with one hand. A 4-pound, you may be able to. Here's a 4-pound sledgehammer. You start knocking yourself with that. That's better. I want to see you beating your brains out with the sledgehammer. And he'll say, oh, you think you're knocking your beating yourself up? Here you go. Use this. And he'll just turn on you and start saying, you're an idiot. I can't believe you ever thought that you would try to believe God. You're worse. You've known about this for how long, and you still have never seen anything. You've never seen God do anything. Why do you even believe it? What are you even looking at? He's trying to condemn people to try to get us to drop what? The word. And so people are in this situation where they felt beat up, and you know what they associate it with instead of the devil? They associate it with the message they heard that they tried to believe and they did not see the results they thought, so they associate that condemnation with the message instead of with the enemy. And you know what a lot of people do? And it's very rampant right now. They go to like try to look at something that'll say, it has nothing to do with you, just receive from God. It doesn't matter. To try to take all condemnation away. But you know what? The condemnation is from the enemy, and he didn't go away. He didn't leave. And now you have people looking away from the truth that will help them to something that's false, to something that will never salve their conscience, that will never help them get out of a situation, because now they think they don't have to do anything when that's wrong and it disagrees with so many scriptures. Jesus didn't come up to these people and say, I know you tried real hard, you're awesome, get up and do it better next time. He said, he rebuked them. Didn't he? Now, is Jesus mean? On the contrary, does Jesus love us? Yes. Does he want the best for us? Yes. So do you think he was just being, you know, mean old Jesus comes up and, you know, he should have been so much nicer to him? Encourage them. I mean, they tried. That's what a lot of people would say. I mean, they wouldn't say about Jesus, because, well, no, that's the scripture. But that's what they say about people. No, Jesus was telling them the truth, right? Giving them the truth. The truth will set us free. But if we look and we could be going around in the same circle year after year, but we don't want to hear anything different than what we've heard, and we're just, you know, convinced that it's not me, that I couldn't hear anything different, or even when I say that, people cringe. They say, see, I know it's me, I know I'm stupid, whatever. That's a lie. We're going to break through some stuff here, I'm just telling you. We're plowing right now, but we're going to get through some things. We're setting a stage. Because there is this thing that people believe that I've gone through it, I've gone over it, I just can't get through, I just can't get past this point, and they start taking this condemnation on them, which is from the enemy, and they start associating it with actually the word that could set them free. And so guess what? If you believe that the thing that could set you free is actually your problem, you're in trouble, because you're going to start backing away from it. And now the thing that could set you free, you've already backed away from. You've pushed away from it. But these scriptures, and we'll get into this more. Time and again, Jesus came and said, this is your problem. Your doubt. Your unbelief. Period. That's what he said. But then we'll go off and we'll try to make it all these other things, and this is why. This is why such and such happened. Instead, if we'll come back and let the Holy Spirit speak to us and say, all right, because God is not, he is not holding out on us. He is not waiting for your next life before you can believe him and receive now. He is not waiting for the 2020s or the 2030s to where then it's a real good time to receive. Do you realize right now is the prime time for any of us to be able to receive from God, and God is not withholding anything from any of us right now, right where we are. Period. I mean, if we went back 70 years when certain things were happening that we would say, wow, that was a move of God. Do you realize God's heart towards people has not changed one iota in 2015 as it was in 2045, and 1945, 1950 when the healing revival was going on? Late 40s to late 50s. So right now, we actually have everything in the Word is still there. God's Word is still true for us to receive from Him right now and believe Him now and to see things in our lives change now. You believe it? So, why not us? The devil's lied to a lot of people and just pushed it off. But why not? There is no reason why not. It's because we've bought a package. We've started looking at stuff around us and we've let the Word, instead of looking at the Word and looking at Jesus regardless, we started looking at circumstances. And we're going to talk about that some more. Amen. Praise God.